Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of September, recording at 9:40 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime. Now, first the highlights today. In terms of Asian stock markets, they were mostly weaker, although China was up a tiny fraction. European stock markets seesawed a little bit, but were mostly in the minus column and closed with modest declines. And Wall Street was mostly in the plus column and closed with modest gains. They faded towards the close. We had a decent bounce in some of the commodity indices that had pushed way down. The Canadian Toronto Composite Index and also the Brazilian Index. I see they showed gains of 2.5% to nearly 3%. And elsewhere, a little bit of profit taking in long-dated government bonds. The US dollar started a little bit weaker, but then rallied, had another very strong day. Currently 79.96 on the US dollar index. Euro is down to 140. That's pretty much the lows of the day for the euro and the high for the US dollar index. Gold was clipped again today. It's currently at 753. Platinum plunged again, currently at 1181. Silver similarly down 90 cents, 1074. Those are interesting. And industrial metals mostly lower, as were grains and beans. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, fear rules. We're still getting the deleveraging. That's quite clear. Now, in terms of stock markets, there's a black mood out there. And the news items, it's really, you know, which financial entity is going to get trouble and is going to get in trouble today kind of feeling. And it's been Lehman Brothers once again here today, commanding a lot of attention. Obviously, no one wants to pay a premium for Lehman Brothers. The Koreans were sort of mentioned frequently as probable suitors and then backed away. Everybody wants to get a particularly good deal, sort of as J.P. Morgan did. Now, I think that this is obviously disturbing, seeing all this take place. It just reminds people that there's more bad news out there, that there will be more write-downs, that there will need to be more capital provided to shore up these financial institutions, that quite possibly the patience, if not the resources, of some of the sovereign wealth funds have been stretched by events, and therefore the burden is falling to the Fed and other central banks where similar events occur. And that's all fairly alarming. What we need to bear in mind, though, is that most of these banks are in the West, and that there are far more banks out there that incidentally now have much bigger market cap than these beleaguered U.S. financial institutions, which are really in quite good shape overall. Or I'll put it this way, the worst that they're experiencing is a global slowdown, but they don't have all this derivatives rubbish that's been weighing on the Western banks so much. But the economic problems are going to rumble on, but the stock market is not entirely about the economic factors, but how quickly they are actually discounted and what occurs next in terms of policy developments. And we are inching closer to that switch on the part of central banks from fighting inflation towards promoting GDP growth. Now, the one factor that would cause them to act sooner rather than later is another stock market slump, which most people think we're going to get. We can obviously envisage why that might happen. I don't feel there are any certainties out there in terms of markets. But there are also a lot of people who have cash who, of course, are hoping for a very big slump. And anybody who has sold recently would be hoping for that, certainly. So, but we have seen more capitulation selling recently, and we've had waves of capitulation selling starting August of last year, and then in January of this year, and then again in March, and then again in July, and then again quite recently, prompting Bill Gross to talk about a financial tsunami. Now, my guess is that he's wrong on that, but again, there are no certainties, and I've mentioned before that in this particular environment, I feel less certain than I have for a very long time. But the rate at which some of these markets are falling, really, it's becoming very, very interesting. For instance, I won't rattle through them all, but everything's coming down on this general global deleveraging. Now, the more global deleveraging there is, then the more bargains there are going to be later on. And among those bargains, I mean, how many people actually felt 3 to 6 months ago, for instance, that gold would be back down to 750? And that's nothing compared to silver, which is down trading now at 1074. That's on the September contract, 1074. Remember, gold traded up what, 21, 22, over $21 earlier this year. So we're looking at a halving there, and then we've got platinum with a similar move down. Now, these are important real assets. They're monetary metals, and they have come back to exceedingly interesting levels. Of course, it's catch a falling knife territory. When you get panicky selling like this, where is it going to actually stop? What sort of tactics do you use? If you go in and buy and put a close stop in the market, you're almost certainly going to get heaved out. But I think that people who are or have been waiting or hoping to buy precious metals at lower levels, this is certainly a time to commence nibbling in my view. And if again with stock markets, which have been quite depressed, or where one is looking for opportunities, as I mentioned yesterday, I think I would be very cautious in here. This is a time where discretion may be the better part of valor. But if one does commit or start to put money into the market, I would do it incrementally on a cost averaging basis. That's usually a very good strategy. And I don't doubt that anybody who did that near current levels would have some pretty good gains 2 or 3 years from now, and perhaps a whole lot sooner than that. China, I think, is possibly the most important market. I know it's the most, well, one doesn't know anything. I feel it's the most important market in terms of one doesn't know anything for certain, which I meant to say. But I do feel that China is by far the most important market in terms of the emerging market sector as far as sentiment goes. I put it this way, China keeps moving down, China leash effect is very negative. That leads to selling in other emerging markets. People worry more about China's growth declining and less demand for resources, so all those resources emerging markets go down. Now, the whole thing goes back into reverse again once China turns up, and China is looking at least as overstretched on the downside as it was overstretched on the upside last year. And when China peaked, we could all see it. We could see first before that, we could see the huge overextension relative to the moving average. I didn't think for a minute that it was going to come back this far, but having seen it come back this far, I can say even more emphatically than when it was at the peak that this is very overstretched on the downside, and this is unsustainable. This is close to a very important low. And as investors see China improving, and it hasn't happened yet, I mean it's crept up in the last couple of days, but as people see that China has turned, then they're going to become more optimistic about commodities and pretty well all other emerging stock markets, and we'll get another upcycle. One extreme leads to another, and we've always seen that. And I think that's not a bad time to end this broadcast, especially as I've recorded a little later than usual. So, meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.